Oh man, I love this song. Every time I hear it, I can remember where I was and who I was with. It reminds me of this. Does this sound familiar? Music is like a scent. It can instantly transport you to another time and place. I ask my guests to dish about their song with the memories that go with it. I'm your host, Tiffany Mason. I have a passion for music and a curiosity about how a song affects someone and why. Turn up your radio and let's explore Memories with a Beat. Hello, Podcast Land. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Memories with a Beat. And today I have with me Andrew Kloninger, another fantastic candidate that I got from Podmatch. I am really excited to dig in. We are going to be talking about Hallelujah. It's been covered by a million people, but primarily Leonard Cohen, but we're not talking about him today. Andrew, welcome to Memories with a Beat. I'm super excited to dig into this song with you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This is fun. I'm glad I'll be able to dive in and kind of fanboy out with this song. It's one of my favorites for sure.
Oh, good. Well, for those of you who don't know, Leonard Cohen was the one that made the song Hallelujah popular, but today we're going to be talking about Jeff Buckley, and he covered this song. And Andrew, can you tell me, was this an acoustic version?
No, actually. So Leonard Cohen wrote this song in, I think it was 84, for his album, Various Positions. And his version was done on synthesizer, which is very fascinating. And then John Cale from the Velvet Underground covered it. And the arrangements are quite different from the actual recording that Leonard Cohen did. And then Jeff Buckley took John Cale's version and played it. It was just electric guitar and his voice. And it's unbelievable. You know, so it's very fascinating how people's different versions and spins, you know, can kind of, you know, tug at your heartstrings. That's for sure, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know the evolution of that, you know, progression of the song. So thank you. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, for those of you who don't know, and I didn't know this, Jeff Buckley, like I said, he covered the song. He actually had an album before that. Well, maybe I should just say in March of 2008, it was Jeff Buckley's first number one on the Billboard's Hot Digital Songs. And that was for Grace. Well, his album Grace is on Rolling Stone's list of 500 greatest albums of all times and included Buckley as one of the greatest singers. So that's saying a lot. A publication that his main focus is music, and to include Jeff Buckley in that is pretty incredible. Oh, yeah.
He's one of the best. He's got a crazy range. He definitely inherited his vocal range from his father. But yeah, it's just when you hear it, it's like, it's hard to describe, but you know, just every phrase, everything is so clearly articulated, and his voice is so clear. It's a very high tenor, and it's just unbelievable. Like, oh, you know, it's like, okay, the angels are singing now, you know, and you get to kind of like feel that like ethereal version of it. And it's very a huge juxtaposition between, because I actually did the backwards thing where I heard this version on the radio when I was like, let's see, 93. So it was probably like 94 when I heard it. So I was like 14 when it came out or when it was on the radio. And so I moved from Northern Michigan to Rochester, New York area when I was 14. And so, you know, you're trying to discover the new area. So you're going through all the radio stations, you're checking things out back in the day before YouTube and all that stuff. And on the lower end of the dial, there's all like the, you know, the college stations. But there was this one station, it's still on, it's WBER. It's actually where they train kids how to become DJs and, you know, radio announcers and that type of thing, which is a great program. But, you know, it's like a low power. Cool.
Low budget.
But you know, somebody was like, this song's awesome. I'm gonna play this, you know. So yeah, I heard it on there and I couldn't speak for him, you know. I was just, you know, it must be like, you know, back in the day when someone heard like Stairway to Heaven or something like that. It was that kind of moment for me where it was like, oh, I need to sit quietly and listen to this, you know. And as a musician and stuff, I'm like, okay, this guy's got immense talent that I don't really even understand, especially the vocal, you know, what he can do with his voice. And I mean, it was like he was limitless in what he could do.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, if you go back and you listen to the Leonard Cohen version, you're like, huh, this is weird. And it's just like, okay, these are two different animals. And I don't know how he got from A to B, you know, with the arrangements. And it must have been John Cale's version that really, because I listened to John Cale's version and I can totally see how it got structured, you know, the arrangement. John Cale did a lot.
It's not such a far leap. Yeah. Well, I don't want it to go without being said. Unfortunately, Jeff Buckley left this earth way before he should have. I think he was about 30 years old. He was swimming in the river, waiting for his band members to come into town, and a leak from a boat got the better of him. And, you know, he went up to heaven to sing Hallelujah.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, it's very crazy.
Yeah, I wonder what would have come from him and all of his talent.
He's the one that got away. You know, it's one of those ones that, you know, you just wonder. It would have been unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So much potential. Okay. So you said you're about 14. How long had you guys lived in Rochester? This is like right after you moved, or this is like a year or two?
Yeah. I would say like,
cause you were trying to get like your bearings,
right? I was just trying to figure
it
out, you know, like, okay, what is this strange land that I live in now? You know, cause it was a big different, you know, where I'm from in Northern Michigan. You know, so it's in the Upper Peninsula. So it's not like Detroit or anything like that. It's up by Lake Superior. And so it's a very different area. A lot of Scandinavian people. I'm Finnish.
Okay, so you come across a song. You're 14, so I don't imagine you're in your car. Are you in your room?
Yeah, it's cool because growing up, we've always had radios in a room. I don't know. Okay. It's just always something that we were allowed or... And for some people, it's kind of weird, but we had records and cassette tapes and all that, you know, so we had all the formats, you know. Of course, it had to be like...
Well-rounded.
Yeah, it had to be approved necessarily, but, you know, but it was definitely okay to listen to stuff. So my brother and I shared a room. And so one of our favorite pastimes was to, like late at night, was to switch it to the AM and like try to find like different... because. Depending on how the air streams are, you can catch like different radio stations from all over the country.
Okay.
So we would try to get like, you know, I mean, we got New Mexico, we got Texas, we got, you know, California, and we got Canada. We, you know, we'd get all over. We never got anything in Europe or anything because we weren't quite there, but like definitely all over the country, you know. And once we moved to Rochester, we could get stuff from like New York City, we could get Philadelphia, we could get Florida, you know.
Fun.
So, you know, it's just kind of oh man, they're, you know, this is ESPN in Florida, or, you know, it's like Fort Lauderdale or whatever. So, you know, it's kind of a fun little hobby that we would, you know, try to do that. And, you know, so we were definitely radio enthusiasts.
Well, I feel like travel has gotten more accessible.
Yeah.
Where like, it wasn't at that time.
For sure.
So for you two little boys to be going, or not little boys,
yeah,
but young men.
Yeah, we were.
To be going, oh my gosh, this is Florida. Like, I can imagine your brain exploding a little bit thinking like, we're tracking all the way down to Florida. Like, what a cool thing.
Yeah.
So I know that you said you have one brother. What other siblings do you have? And then is the brother that you shared a room with, was he younger or older?
He's 3 years younger than me.
Okay.
I have an older sister and a younger sister as well. It's funny. Yeah. You know, I was kind of the one that was the, hey, check out this cool record, you know, my younger siblings. So I was the guy, but I had cousins. I come from a very musical family. So my cousin John was a big influence on me, John Churchville. And he's been on some national records and stuff like that. He's a percussionist and drummer and all around amazing musician. And so you know, we're a couple years different, you know, so when you're younger, it's more of a big deal. So it's more like I was like idolizing him and just kind of checking out what he was doing, as opposed to like, so how do you, you know, what are you listening to? It was more like that. You know, it's more like, I'm in the corner kind of watching what he's doing, you know, kind of thing. And so, you know, he was the one that kind of initially kind of opened the door for me to be like, hey, this is viable. This is something that's important. And then of course, you know, when you make friends, you know, your friends influence you big time. Hey man, have you heard this record? Have you, you know,
absolutely. Yeah.
Especially like when you're all in a band.
That's what I was going to ask. Was it summertime or was school in session that you were able to be like, hey guys, the song I was scanning through radio stations and here it was.
Yeah. And of course back in those days too, we'd make mixtapes. So we'd tape right off the radio. And so that was kind of a big thing for us was we would swap tapes. And so, you know, there's all kinds of different kinds of mixtapes. You know, so I would get records that I'd never heard of from my friends, and I would give mixtapes to my friends. And so we would kind of like just kind of do this whole like swap thing. And it was fun, you know, because you never know when you're listening late at night. That's when it's best to tape because everybody's quiet, you know, it's all quiet and stuff. And you just have your headphones in and you're like, there's one. You're trying to anticipate it, you know. And
yeah. And hope to God that the DJ doesn't speak over the beginning or the ending.
Oh, I know. Well, my trick with that was I always pause it and then you could lift off the pause.
Yeah.
So you could skip him if you needed to. So I would just push the pause button and then blah, blah, blah. You know, this is whatever, whatever. And then I'd lift off and then it would be back. So I would do like a jump cut almost, you know. So.
Okay.
You had to be quick though. Yeah. Sometimes I'd get it. Sometimes I wouldn't. I wasn't always good at it, but I tried.
Which was always so frustrating because then you had to wait for it to come back on again.
Oh, the rotation. Yeah. Absolutely. No good. Yeah, no, it was fun. Yeah, back in the day, the kids don't understand. It was an art form, you know. And now
you had to punch out that little square so nobody could record over it again. And then if you wanted to, you had to put scotch tape over it.
Yeah. Yep, to make it all good. Yeah, it was a crazy time, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't like go to Spotify and listen.
Oh, I know. Or like you know, because I was thinking about that the other day, like, you know, because of algorithms and things like that, like, how does that, you know, because I noticed that like if I'm in a rut, you know, listening to music, because sometimes what I'll do is I'll put on YouTube while I'm, you know, working around the house or something like that. And then all of a sudden it's like, man, I've heard these ones over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And so what I do is I erase all the cookies.
Oh, sure.
And then type in something totally off of whatever that style of music was and then try to reset the algorithm. I was just in the studio working on a record with a younger guy. He's like 25. I'm 43. So, you know, there's a little bit different thing. So he was playing this beat and it was very similar to Paul Simon's 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, which, you know, it's a pretty famous song. And we're like, okay. Oh yeah, that's, you know, and the drummer that played on it was, his name is Steve Gadd and he's from Rochester, New York. And so what was interesting is he didn't know that, you know, because it's 50 years old, but also algorithms, like he's not exposed to it. Like where I was exposed to it because it was on the radio. It was in the car. It was in the shopping malls. It was everywhere, you know, like, and so it's very fascinating to me, you know, like the way that people consume music is completely different than even when I was a kid.
Right.
You know, so it's very, very interesting.
I hear you. I have a daughter who's almost 13 and she always wants to like select the song. I'm like, why don't we like put it in Faith's hands? Let's just put it on the radio and just see what comes up.
Yeah.
We might be exposed to a song we haven't heard before or one that we really like.
Yeah.
Or you never know. It's like a mystery.
Yeah.
You know, and she just cannot handle
it.
It's everything for them is on demand.
Yep.
And it's like, no, just leave some things, you know.
Let it be mystical once in a while. Even if it's even if it's like at the whim of a program director nowadays too. Also being a musician, I always had to pay the bills. So I would work in warehouses and that kind of thing. So you know, you're listening to whoever the most senior guy is, he's got the radio. He's got radio privileges. So you're listening to whatever they're listening to.
That's right.
So, you know, that's, you know, hierarchy. That's how that rolls. But what was interesting, though, a lot of times is after an hour, you can get the pattern. You know, so there is still a pattern. So I think that's where I got to where I was like, okay, I need to listen to all kinds of music,
yeah.
You know, and listen to alternative music or listen to folk music or classical music or jazz or, you know, because then you get all this amalgamation of stuff that's very fascinating.
Got a podcast? Are you loving it, but not loving how much time post-production takes? Or maybe you just have other tasks calling your name a little bit louder. Virtually You can help. Check out virtuallyuva.com, supporting you in all things podcasting, like editing, show notes, audiograms, and much more. See the link in the show notes. They're waiting to give you back your time. And on that note, let's get back to the show.
So what was that like the next time you and your brother were surfing the airwaves and that song came on and you were like, oh my gosh, you've got to listen to this song. It's incredible. What was that like?
It's the best. It's the best because it's like giving a gift. You know, I think that's the thing that is the coolest is, you know, whether it's your friends or your brother or whoever, it's almost like here, you need to, you know, it's like going up on the mountain and coming back down with this little, you know, mystical orb almost and like handing it to someone. And it's like, and then they get absorbed by it and they're like, oh, this is amazing. You know? And it's like, you know, and you can see their mind being blown too, you know? And, you know, it's funny because my brother, again, you know, I come from a musical family. My brother he's got better ears than I do as far as like he can like play stuff off the radio. Like he can just,
I love that. That's so cool.
I wish I could do that. That'd be amazing. He's a big Queen fan.
Okay.
He loves Queen.
Yeah.
And you know, there's other bands too, but Queen in particular, because it's the vocal range and the, you know, like the tenor voice. And so Jeff Buckley fit right into that, you know, that sonic thing that he really likes. And so, we just sat there quietly until it was done. And then afterward, it was kind of like, we didn't know what to say.
Right. You just kind of sat there and let it just kind of ruminate.
Yeah. And we were just sitting there and just being like, how cool was that? Very cool. You know? And then he went, let's go play baseball. You know, like that's kind of, you know, because, you know, it's like, dude, that's that song I was telling you about. You know, that's kind of like how that works, you know, so. Yeah.
Did any of your friends come back and say they liked the Leonard Cohen version better?
No. Nobody. Nobody did. And if you heard it, you would understand what I'm talking about. Because you know, Leonard Cohen is arguably maybe the third best poet as far as songwriter lyrically wise. He's probably up there. He's up there with like Bob Dylan and you know. Robert Hunter from Grateful Dead, you know, as far as lyric writing goes. And it's hard to put him up with the Beatles because that's pretty high. That's high praise. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But, you know, but definitely he's definitely in that tier of lyric, at least lyric writing.
Mm-hmm.
However, his musical abilities are probably, I don't know, like if you were going to rank him, he would probably be in the lower tier.
Yeah.
And that goes for singing and that goes for musicianship as well. I mean, he had a lot of help getting his ideas. And what's interesting is that he was signed to Columbia Records and they wouldn't put that record out. He had to go to a smaller record label to even get that record out. So that was a fascinating.
What?
Yeah. So, and what is also ironic is that Jeff Buckley was signed to Columbia because Hallelujah was on Grace. And so when it was released, it was on Columbia Records. So it's just hilarious.
Oh, so you're saying they wouldn't release it for Leonard Cohen.
Right.
Ah.
That record did not get released on Columbia.
Interesting.
But that song got released on Columbia eventually. And the funny part is Leonard Cohen, you know, he's songwriting credit. So like, he got paid, you know, so he got paid twice, you know, or 3 or 4 million times over because, you know, everybody covers it now, you know, but like.
So now what, Columbia?
Yeah. What's up now?
Yeah. You know,
Unfortunately, he's passed away now, but like, I'm sure he was cashing that check. You know, oh, yeah. That must have been a nice little check to have, yeah. You know? And they were talking 90s too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it took a long time for it to, you know, it's like one of those slow burners.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think it was, you know, it's not like one of those songs that like, you know, 20 million sold and, you know, first
not
year
an overnight like sensation.
Yeah. But right. Still, you know, it was still like pre-streaming. And so there's still some good money to be made.
Oh yeah. Yep.
You know,
yeah.
That's the crime of Spotify, even though, you know, I use it, but you know, when I see my royalties, it's like, woof.
Yeah. So tell me now, when do you listen to this song? Do you have it on a playlist? Do you pull it up? Are you using it to evoke emotion? Or is it just when you're having like a thoughtful day? Like, when does this song play into your life now?
So it's interesting because for me, I am a full album kind of person.
Okay.
So when I listen to music, I listen to the whole work.
Got it.
And so it's not one of those things where I'm like, where I have to pull something out. It's more of, I need to listen to this because I haven't listened to it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I don't, I'm mercurial in the sense of, I don't like listening to things on repeat.
Right. Okay.
I'm one of those people that likes to, for full disclosure, and maybe I have a problem, but I have over 1,000 CDs.
Oh, wow.
And so, and I have over 500 vinyl records.
Okay.
So I'll never run out of music to listen to ever.
Yeah.
So my wife, she's like, you know, as long as they're not in the way.
Right.
But the thing is, accessibility is a lot better, you know, with Pandora and Spotify and stuff. So you don't necessarily have to store. Yeah. But Grace is one of those records that I definitely have that is a CD that I definitely pull out. I'll take out a stack of CDs at a time and I'll listen to all of them in one setting.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think for me, it's more about like revisiting old friends. I think I see it that way. You know, it takes you to a time and a place like, oh, I haven't visited you in a while. I haven't listened mm-hmm. to that record in a while. I don't know. If you listen to Grace front and back, it is a masterful masterclass all the way around. It's just, it's one of those hidden like masterpieces that unfortunately, for whatever reason, didn't get its just due when it came out. And I hope someday that people will revisit. I mean, in some ways it has because, you know, like you said, Bill, you know, Rolling Stone has said it's a great record.
Yeah.
But I always feel bad too because, you know, he was gone too soon. And so you get into that like myth making stuff, which is a little weird, you know, like with Kurt Cobain and some of these guys, you know, or even like mm-hmm. Jim Morrison and, you know, even Jimi Hendrix to a certain degree, even though, you know, everybody is like, yeah, arguably one of the greatest of all time. But, you know, it's hard because, you know, there's myth making when the person's gone too soon. And so but if you just listen to it, it blows your mind every time.
Yeah.
I can't say enough about that song or that song in particular, but also that record in particular is just, it's awe-inspiring. And like, how did that even like, I couldn't imagine being like the engineer or the producer on that record or even the musicians on that and just hearing the playbacks on those while they're making it and just being like, oh, this is amazing. Or maybe they're like, I don't like that part. Or like, you know what I mean? Like all that little stuff is like, you know, when you're making records, sometimes you don't necessarily appreciate what's happening until, you know, other people do. But, you know, I can't imagine having a bad day on any of those records, you know, it doesn't seem like it's possible. It was all pre-digital. So those guys were singing on tape and, you know, recording on tape. And so, you know, that's a whole different way of recording too. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So. With you mentioning all the records and all the CDs that you have, can you remember when you used to buy them or even now when you get them out?
Yeah.
What's more important in that leaflet? Is it the lyrics or is it, you know, the pictures or is it just listening to the actual music and kind of, you know, rummaging through it? Like what sticks out to you with that leaflet?
So, So when I'm in the record store, art is a big deal.
Okay.
Yeah. If we're talking record selection, art is a big deal. Also, song titles is a big deal for me, you know, because okay. you can't, you know, because if everything's shrink wrapped, you can't necessarily get it unless you're in a used CD place, or if you're looking at, sometimes vinyl is not shrink wrapped, especially in the used bins. But like,
yeah,
for me, it's definitely, there's something about, so Grace is definitely one of those ones where it wasn't necessarily the artwork, because we're talking like, you know, I mean, he's a good looking dude, and he's like, yeah. he's got like a 50s microphone, and he's got like this glittery jacket, which doesn't necessarily speak to me necessarily. But when I flipped it over and was reading the song titles is what caught my eye on that particular record. Cause I had no idea who he was. Like I had no, you know, this is pre Google, pre Yahoo, you know? So, you know, we had AOL, you know, So like, as far as information goes, I didn't really have a lot to go on at the time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to put down your $14, you definitely had to like take a chance. And so for me, it was, you know, there was a couple songs on there. One of them that stuck out to me was Mojo Pin. And I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And then Hallelujah, I was like, that's interesting. You know, like, you know, and I didn't even know the Leonard Cohen version at all. I had no idea.
Interesting. Okay.
That was a backtrack. That was after, like, because once you get it, you know, once you bring it home and then you can open it up and then you're like, then you go through the credits and you're like, Leonard Cohen, who's that guy? Okay. Yeah. Now we got to go down another rabbit hole, you know? So.
Well, it's clear that you love music. And you had said that you were a little bit more ambitious. So you definitely want to touch on the point that you have a band that you're in and you are a producer. So, you know, if you can briefly tell my audience just a little bit about that, I'd love for them just to know what you offer.
Yeah. So it's fascinating. My band is called Wren Cove, and we're actually, it's funny. This particular band is actually an instrumental band. So I play guitar and I do effect pedals and that kind of thing to make a sound. And I play with a cello player who also does loops and stuff like that. So we kind of create this big kind of orchestra type feel live. We've been having a lot of fun doing it. Actually, right now I'm producing our latest record. It's called Movement. So I've spent a couple of days in the studio so far.
Yeah.
You know, recording that stuff and getting it ready. So in this live, I just play guitar live, but in the studio, I play synthesizers and bass and piano and kind of shape it. And then my bandmate Melissa comes in later and then she overdubs all the cellos and does some loops. And, you know, so we kind of like cover all these different textures and that kind of thing. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. If you guys go to the website, you guys can hear some of his music. I know that's what I did before we hopped on here. I wanted to see a little bit. So I was actually surprised that you were so interested in all of the leaflet, really, and like the titles of the songs and stuff, because I thought for sure you were going to say, you know, it was all about the music because that's what you're currently doing. So that was a fun surprise.
Yeah, it's interesting. My initial foray into music was actually songwriting. So
okay.
I was in punk rock bands and indie rock bands for 20 plus years. And so what happened was about 10 years ago, I decided to get more of a day job and like, you know, be able to support that, you know, my wife was like, you know, so, which was fun, but you know, I still recorded and played at home and that kind of thing. And then I got hurt. I had a bulging disc in my neck, which caused some nerve damage in my left hand, which is the hand that I use to fret my guitar.
Oh, no.
And so I temporarily lost the use of my hand for a while. But through like PT, physical therapy and occupational therapy and pain management and that kind of thing, I've been able to get back and being able to play, which is a blessing.
Yeah.
It was quite the journey to get back to where I could feel comfortable even playing in front of people. It was like a 2-year journey to get back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and now you're producing too, right? So are you producing just yourself, or it sounds like you're producing others?
I've produced people in the past, but right now Ren Cove is kind of a big project.
Yeah.
It's kind of on the forefront right now because it's there's a lot of moving parts. And so yeah. I try to focus one thing at a time. But yeah, I'm always open. And I consult with, I do help other bands in my area up in the Rochester, New York area.
Fun.
I also have so if you go on YouTube, if you check out Basement Factory Music, I have a couple different projects on there.
Oh, fun.
I have a music project with my wife called Terraplane. She sings and I just produce the music and I co-wrote the lyrics and stuff with her. And I also do like a little bit of a jazz band. It's a trio. It's a drummer and guitar and trumpet. So that's a lot of fun as well. That band's called Indigo Bunting. So.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely check those out on YouTube. Yeah, sounds awesome.
Yeah. Check that stuff out. Yeah. It's more lower key. Those are like my side projects of the side projects, and then Ren Cove is the main, situation. And so, I try to keep busy and so that's one way to do it. And also I wrote a book of haiku about my injuries and that type of stuff. So, and people can check that out too. It's C6, C7. You can check it out it's on Amazon or Barnes and Noble or any of those, outlets, whatever people want to choose. Yeah. And that came out on Atmosphere Press last October.
Congratulations. That's very cool.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That was quite the journey to get that produced as well. So that was fun.
Well, Andrew, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah. No, this has been fun. Yeah. It's kind of like going down memory lane. Yeah. It's really fun.
Yeah. So. Well, Puckett said, I hope you check this song out, this version of Hallelujah, on the Spotify, Apple, or YouTube playlist. It's Memories with a Beat, the playlist. And I hope that this episode sticks with you like the memories to your favorite song.
Podcast Land, thank you so much for listening. If you had a few memories of your own pop up with this episode, make sure to take a screenshot, tag me on social, Tiffany Mason, or Virtually You, and share those memories. I know y'all are listening, and I'd love to hear the memories you were reminded of with this song. Also, would you do me a favor and share this episode with someone you think would enjoy it? This is the best way you can help me to grow my audience. Can't wait to dive into my next guest's Memories with a Beat. Hit subscribe now. You don't want to miss the next episode.